Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
Demole Williams, touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, y'all. Well, we are back. Once again, Climbing the Pocket Special Edition, running through these position groups here, getting you ready for the NFL draft. And, I mean, it's supposed to be a top five that we're hitting you with, but we're going to do interior O-linemen, so we might give you a little bit extra on this episode here. And, you know, we're talking draft. Of course, we're with the man, the myth, the legend. JR, how you doing, my man?
Good, man. Talking draft. I'm excited. Let's do it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And before we get really into it here, you know, we got to remind the folks that, JR did release his draft guide. So if you haven't already gone over to climbingthepocket.com, $5, you send it JR's way. He sends you back the draft guide. You get the draft guide. The money goes to charity. It's wins all around. Best value that you can get this draft season. So if you haven't already done that, go ahead and do it. If you haven't, if you're still on the fence, yeah, hopefully when you get some of these details that JR is going to drop for you now, you'll understand why you should go ahead and buy that so you can get all those details about all the prospects that your team might be considering in the early rounds of this draft. So now that the shilling is out of the way, JR, interior offensive lineman, I guess we're going to do six, right? So yeah. Number six, who you got?
Yeah, so I'll just go based on my ranking. So I'll jump back a little back and forth between guard and center. The sixth guy in this group would be Billy Price. It seems to be – his stock seems to be dwindling a little bit. We all know about his torn pectoral situation that he suffered during the bench press at the combine. But before that point, he was one of the most durable players in this entire draft class. Started 55 consecutive games at Ohio State, but randomly suffered that setback at the combine. And out of all the players there, he definitely was the one that a lot of people really weren't expecting that to happen to because of how durable he has been throughout his collegiate career. But with Billy Price, you're getting a center or a guard. I think he's a guy that can play either one. I like this film a little bit better at center in 2017. He played predominantly guard before that point. He actually took over for Pat Elflein this past season at center, but very strong player. And that's the one thing that stands out about him. He consistently finishes defenders on the ground, and he shows that nasty demeanor that you love to see in offensive lineman prospects. He does have a little bit of stiffness with him, and when Ohio State asked him to pull or get out on the perimeter on some of those screen blocks, he just really wasn't comfortable with doing that because he's not the greatest athlete, and that's why I think they really try to hide him some at center. But he's a guy I think you will be able to get probably in the mid to late second round because of his pectoral situation, but he's probably not going to have a lot of rehab time. I know they're saying his estimated recovery from the point at the combine is 4 months, but we all know how tedious and how extraneous the grind is for offensive linemen during the duration of an entire season. So the biggest question with him is, will that pectoral muscle be able to hold up through the duration of a season with limited rehab time? And before that point, or before a pre-injury, a lot of people were saying that he was a potential first-round pick. Now, I didn't really see that with him, and we all know NFL teams really don't value interior offensive linemen that high. But he's a guy I think you can probably get in the mid to late second round. I think he could be a steal.
Awesome, awesome. Well, let's keep this thing moving along. Number five, who you got for me, man?
Number five, this your guy right here, Frank Ragnow. From that's Arkansas.
It's too low, JR. With number five? Anyway, yeah. I'll let you go.
Frank Ragnow. This your guy right here. I love me some Frank Ragnow. You love me some Frank Ragnow. His season this past season was cut short due to an ankle injury. I believe he only played 4 games this past season, but he was the heart and soul of their offensive line. But he has experience at center and right and left guard, so he is a bit versatile. In the inside, he reminds me of Brandon Linder, the center from the Jacksonville Jaguars. He just got really paid highly a couple months ago. So that really speaks high volumes to exactly how good Ragnow can be. He's a guy I think you can step in from day one and be a starter. I like him much better at center as opposed to guard, because that's what he's been playing up until this point. Even before his injury, he was playing mostly center. So I like him much better there, and he seems to be most comfortable there. The biggest thing with him is he needs to improve his pad level. He is 6'5", and he plays 6'5". He plays all of 6'5", and he needs to lower his pad level a bit, because what you see with him is that defenders are able to get up under him sometimes because he plays so high. So he needs to improve his pad level, but from a strength and technique standpoint, he has it all to be a day one starter.
All right, all right. Like that, like that. Well, let's keep this thing moving along. Number four, who you got for us?
Number four. So this will be the big bully, I like to call him, Will Hernandez. I love me some Will Hernandez. If I was famous or a celebrity, and I picked one guy in this draft class, an offensive lineman, to be my bodyguard, Will Hernandez would be that guy. His game against Oklahoma was probably the best tape I've seen from an offensive lineman in this class, outside of Quentin Nelson, of course, who is just a completely different beast. But we'll get into him a little bit later. But just talking about Will Hernandez, another guy that was extremely durable. And 1,028 career pass blocking snaps, he only allowed four sacks. Three of them came during his freshman season. So he hasn't allowed a sack since 2015. And if you think about how hard offensive linemen's jobs are to protect the quarterback down in and down out in every single game, him accomplishing that type of feat is amazing. And where do you get him with Will Hernandez? You're getting the absolute bully in the running game. Now, I think he's more of a better fit in a man-blocking scheme as opposed to a zone-blocking scheme. There were some questions out there about his lateral agility, but then he went and killed all the tests at the combine. So maybe I was wrong, and maybe some people who thought he couldn't fit in his own scheme were wrong. But on the field, he just doesn't look like he would be a great fit, and I don't think we would see his potential fully in a zone scheme. I think if you ask him to play in a man blocking scheme where he's just asked to completely crush defenders opposite of him as opposed to sliding left or right or zoning left or right in a zone scheme, I don't think you would be able to see his absolute highest potential. So if he can get with a team that has a man blocking scheme and allows him just to maul people in the run game and just shut down defenders in the passing game, I think that would be best for him.
Okay, and let's keep this thing moving along. Who you got next for me, man?
So next guy on the list would be James Daniels, which is the center from Iowa. He's a guy that caught late steam during the latter half of this pre-draft process. He really wasn't a very notable name coming into the season just because he didn't play a whole lot up until this point, or he wasn't really a starter up until this point. Still very young, and he's a bit lean. 6'3", 295 pounds is what he measured at the combine, but he's very, very athletic, only 20 years old, and he has those broad shoulders, so he has plenty of room to fill out his frame, and that's why a lot of people were really high on him. A lot of people were saying that his best football is ahead of him, and what you see with him is that whenever he messes up, it even looks athletic and it looks good, which is the funny thing about him. What you see is he's a natural climber up into the second level, defenders getting up on those linebackers very clean and being able to just be nasty and put them on the ground. His pad level needs to improve a lot as well. He plays high and he gets knocked back in the backfield oftentimes, especially when he's trying to zone one way or another. He allows some penetration from time to time because he doesn't have a lot of strength in his lower body right now. But a couple years in the NFL weight program and him being able to eat a little bit more consistently and a little bit better and put on that good weight, I think he can get up to 305 and 310 pounds easily by the end of his rookie year. So he'll have that 6'3", 310-pound frame that he needs to consistently hold up in the middle. Now, he's a guy that I think is very similar to Marquise Pouncey from the Steelers. More of your smaller, leaner center, but he's more athletic and perfect for a zone scheme.
Okay, all right. Well, now we're getting to a place where it's getting fun here because we're getting to some of these guys that you know, people are even talking about, you know, can they play on the outside? So who you got at number two, man?
This is my draft crush this year, man. You already know who I'm going to say. This is my guy right here, Isaiah Wynn from Georgia. I love me some Isaiah Wynn. I love his story. I love how he got started with football. So he's from a school called Lakeland High School in Florida. A lot of famous players are from there.
Dreadnoughts.
He went there. Dante Fowler. went there. And the person that helped him start to play football or convinced him to play football was actually his teammate. Everyone knows this story. Shaquem Griffin, the linebacker from Central Florida, they were teammates. And before Isaiah Wynn even decided to play football, Shaquem Griffin was the one that convinced him to actually play football in the ninth grade. And I'm glad he did, because he proved to be a very good football player. I love me some Isaiah Wynn. He played left tackle at Georgia this past season, held his own, was out on the island 15 games this year, allowed very minimal sacks. I believe he only allowed 2 sacks this season and 25 pressures throughout his entire career at Georgia, over 2,000 snaps total. So that speaks volumes to just how good and consistent he was. Now, a lot of people were saying he really doesn't have the length to consistently hold up at left tackle. He's only 6'2", 313 pounds. So you don't see a lot of 6'2 offensive tackles in the NFL. I like him much better on the inside. I love his tape better on the inside. I think he was even more consistent on the inside. But team that drafts him, I won't have a problem if they try him at tackle, because tackle is such a premium position and they're much harder to find than guards. And you talk about a guy that held his own in the SEC against the best competition in the country at left tackle. I mean, it's only right that you try to keep him out there to see how he does. I think teams should force him to prove that he can't play tackle before sliding him inside. But me personally, I like him much better on the inside. And whoever drafts him is getting a day one starter, a plug and play option. He's scheme versatile, can play in a zone blocking scheme or a man blocking scheme. Now, Georgia was more of a zone blocking scheme and it better suited his skill set, but he also shows the ability to be able to maul people in the running game and lay on those defenders in those man blocking schemes. So he's a guy that's scheme versatile, and he's my draft crush this year. I love me some Isaiah Wynn.
Awesome. And just with that, you know, you're talking about a guy who has played on the outside. I guess, has he played any center in his career? Do you know?
No, he's never played center before. And I mean, that's probably a position that he can learn, but it all comes down to if he can snap the ball. And that's the biggest thing with learning how to play center. Everybody can't snap the ball. And of course, if you can't snap the ball, you can't play center.
Okay, well, that's awesome. And you know, this is another position group where, you know, we get through all the other guys, but it's pretty cut and dry, pretty clear who the number one guy is here. But I guess we'll let you talk about him anyway. What's up with Quentin Nelson?
Yeah, man, it's the number one guy on my overall big board. I think he's an animal. He's a generational talent to me. He graded as a generational prospect on my grading scale. He's gotten a lot of Larry Allen comps, and that just speaks to how highly everyone thinks of him. Larry Allen is a Hall of Fame offensive lineman for the Dallas Cowboys. And I mean, if you don't know Larry Allen, who Larry Allen is, then you're obviously not an NFL fan. And him getting the praise like that just speaks volumes to how good he has been in his tenure at Notre Dame. Absolute bully in every phase of the game. Everybody's seen clips on Twitter of him just burying people, especially the linebacker from LSU, and also the blitzing safety from Georgia, where he went all the way across the formation and just buried him in the ground on the blitz pickup. So he has those clips like that, but just describing his overall game, like I said, he's a bully. He had a lot of chemistry with the left tackle, Mike McGlinchey. Very good hand usage. Hands are like vice grips when he gets on you. I mean, it's over. If he's able to get under your pads and control you, he's going to take you where he wants to take you. And, I mean, you know we're big on not taking interior offensive linemen that early unless they're elite, but he's a guy I would be shocked if he gets out of the top 8 picks.
Oh, yeah, he's going early. He's definitely going early. And, you know, based on everything you see, he's good. He's really good. He's going to make a big impact for wherever he goes. And in this draft, I think you've described it as being one where it's, you know, more of a depth draft than a superstar draft. So, I mean, if you're getting someone who's grading at as a generational talent, you know, take him.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be completely fine with him going in the top 5.
I mean, don't trade up for him. Shout out to my man, Andy Carlson. But, you know, if you're up there in the top 5, you know, go ahead and take the man.
Absolutely.
Well, all right. You know, we gave y'all a little bit of extra on this one here. You know, 6 interior linemen. And we're going to keep this thing going, you know, day by day, bringing them for you here, going through these breakdowns for each of these position groups. So stick with us. Keep listening. And, you know, if you haven't already done it, go on and buy my man's draft guide. it's a very good draft guide. It's an excellent product. And as you can see from this series thus far, he knows what he's talking about. And he's not just giving you, you know, the basic stuff about, you know, some metrics and things like that. He's giving you some backstory, letting you know a little bit about these guys even before they went to college, you know, letting you know about the Dreadnoughts, Lakeland High School. Know all about the Dreadnoughts. My boy Amir, he's a wrestling legend down there. That might be a little bit too much, but, you know, he was on the team at some point. So, you know, that's it for this episode. You know, we'll be back tomorrow with another episode here, going over linebackers for you here. So, thanks for listening. We'll be talking to you guys soon. Have a good one.